This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry. And our message for this session was a message that was first published back in the month of September of the year 2021, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture for this message is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, and verse number 16. And if you have your scriptures or the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The title for this message: true love. Now, the message for this month has to do with a subject that, dare I say, everyone in the civilized world knows something about, and that is love. This simple four-lettered word is the highest degree of a human emotion that there is. So much so that people have done all sorts of things, some good and some bad, in the name of love. Men and women have fought and died because of it. Nations have fallen because of it. It should be of no surprise that this emotion was embedded in us by the ultimate author of love that there is, and that is our Creator, God, or Christ. The reason I say this is because it plays a very strong part in our existence. Our subject scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to leave heaven, take on the form of man, suffer and die for our sins so that we could have eternal life, even though we deserved eternal damnation. You can't find a greater example of love for someone than that. That is love that goes far beyond what mankind can rationalize as being possible or even realistic. It is one thing for a person to sacrifice their own lives for family and possibly close friends, but totally another to do it for those that don't want to have anything to do with you at all. The Bible addresses it thusly. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 7, he says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But look at verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Imagine that for a minute. Here you are, a father of one child, and you see someone who, for all intents and purposes, is your enemy. You ask your child to offer himself as a human sacrifice so that your enemy can have a chance to become part of your family and inherit your kingdom. Absurd, you would say. However, that is exactly what Christ did for each and every one of us. As the Bible puts it, none of us were seeking God for anything. We were too busy doing what pleased us. We had absolutely no desire to fall in line with a bunch of commandments and such that served to destroy our fun. Now, for you to understand what this message is about, we have to look at just exactly what type of love is being addressed here. The Bible lists several types of love, which I will not go deeply into in this message. There is the love between a husband and a wife. There is the love of a parent for their children. There is the love of a child for their parent. Then there is the love between siblings. We also have love between friends. We also have love of things like pets, property, art, music, and things like that. One of the main things we have real love for is money. And as the Bible puts it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Notice, it does not say money is the root of all evil, but rather the love of it. There is a difference. But what I want to address here is the highest degree of love that one individual can show towards another, and that is the love of your fellow man. Jesus told his disciples that the new commandment that he was leaving with them is just as great as the first. The first is to love God. the new commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. You can find that in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 39. This commandment has a far greater design on human behavior than the majority of us even care to think about. The reason that I say this is because in our society today, if you look at what is commonly accepted as being the all-encompassing definition of it, this commandment, you would be missing the total picture that it really represents. If I were to ask you to define love for me, what would you say? Most of the responses I would probably get have to do with the notion that if you really love someone, then you would not do or say anything to hurt them, or something along those lines. It would boil down to the age-old saying of, love is never having to say you are sorry. This means you will take extra care with the individuals that you care so much about that you would not do or say anything that would cause you to later have to apologize to them for doing. Just as the commandment says, we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. This means then, if we would not do or allow something else to do something to us, then we should not do it to someone else that is our neighbor. None of us that are in their right mind would verbally or even physically abuse ourselves. So it stands to reason then, with that being the case, then we should not be doing it to others. However, this is only part of what this commandment means. The part that is being totally ignored is the part I will address here, and that is, if I am to love others as I do myself, then just as I would strive to avoid any actions that would end up destroying or even injuring me, then I should warn others about the dangers of what they are doing. I am not showing love to an individual that is engaged in something that I know will destroy them or injure them if I say nothing. In fact, if I were to do that, then that would make me a hypocrite and put me in direct violation of this commandment. Here I am protecting my own skin while standing by and doing nothing to at least warn others of the danger that they are facing. That, my friends, is not love, but hate. To stand by and watch others suffer and possibly die and not say or do anything to warn them, as far as God and Christ is concerned, is tantamount to high spiritual treason. Why do I say this? Because each of these individuals are made in the image of God and therefore are my brothers and sisters. In short, they are family. And as such, since Christ came here to make the way for our restoration to the relationship we had with Him at the beginning, and since He gave us the commandment to pass the message on to whoever will hear it, then for me not to do that is sin. Just as I was grateful to those that delivered the message to me about my lifestyle and its consequences, then I owe others to do the same thing for them. In the Old Testament, the Bible mentions the duties of a watchman. You can read Ezekiel chapter number 33, verses 1 through 6. The job of the watchman was to be on guard to protect the children of Israel from an attack by the enemy. Now, if he saw danger, he was to sound the alarm so that the people could either prepare to fight or do whatever was necessary to protect themselves. If after hearing the alarm they did not take heed and perished, then their lost lives would be on them. However, if the watchman saw the danger and did not warn the people, and they perished, then their lost lives would be accounted to the watchman's responsibility, or in other words, their blood would be on his hand. This same scenario plays out when it comes to sin and its consequences. The watchman today is the preacher. It is his or her job to address sin and its consequences so that the people that have an ear to hear can respond accordingly and be saved and delivered. If they do their job and the people refuse to hear them, then whatever befalls them is their own fault. By the same token, if they don't do their job and the people perish, then that will be laid on the preacher's hands. There are very few people that would blame a parent for punishing their child in order to get them to stop a behavior that they know will lead that child to being injured or worse. That shows love for that child. If, on the other hand, the parent allows the child to continue in destructive behavior, then the parent is looked on as being unfit and not loving that child. By the same token, even if a person is grown and engaging in destructive behavior, then those that love them should warn them of that fact. To say and do nothing shows that they don't love this person, but rather want to see them destroyed. That is hate. There is a song that says, "It's a thin line between love and hate." That's because if you don't have the knowledge of how God views things, you will be in a fog as to what defines love and hate when it comes to sin and its consequences. The Bible gives us a couple of scriptures that define the problem. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Then Proverbs 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25 both say the exact same thing. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Look at the first verse and the underlying part, the kisses of an enemy. What is being addressed here is something that is rampant in society today, and that is people tend to believe that showing love for an individual means supporting them in whatever lifestyle or decision they feel right for them. If you don't support them, then to them, you are the enemy, when in reality, it is the reverse. The second scripture reinforces the first in that it points out the difference between what man thinks is right and what God says is right, and the ultimate result of that mindset, which is destruction or hell. And mind you now, that not only goes for the person committing the sin, but those that support them in doing it. Read Romans chapter number 1, verses 31 and 32. You may claim you don't support things like abortion, gay rights or gay marriage, separation of church, God, Christ, and state. But if you give money to or vote for groups and candidates that do, then you are just as guilty as those that openly confess that they do. And you will pay the price. There are more souls in hell today than one could imagine that were hailed as being godly by man simply because they were led to believe what they were doing and supporting was the right thing to do. They were friends of the world. We're talking about the ungodly. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 4, in the New Testament, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You can't be on both sides of the issue. You are either going to be on the one side or the other. There is no straddling the fence, or like Jesse Jackson says, there is no common ground. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 15, this is Jesus speaking, starting at verse 15. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." A lot of you saints need to face the fact that you are living a lie, meaning you are in danger of damnation. Not only that, but there are those that follow in your footsteps like children, relatives, and friends. Do you want to see them in hell as well? What you need to do is get on your knees and repent by asking God's forgiveness and change your evil ways before it is too late. You only get one shot or one life to get things right. And that is as long as you have breath in your body. Once you draw your last breath, that's it. Your time is up. You might think I am being too hard-nosed and judgmental. You might say I am showing hate and not love. But remember what I said earlier. I thank God for those that warned me about my evil ways before it was too late. I love all of you just as I love myself and want God's best for you. Amen. Well, that's the end of our message, and I hope that you managed to pick up the main thrust of the message when it comes down to what true love is. And true love carries with it the idea that you can't be supporting people for the sake of what you figure they say. Well, if you love me or claim you love me so much, you wouldn't be trying to hurt my feelings by making me feel guilty, this, that, and other. But the thing is, what they need to realize is you know what the end result of whatever the thing is that they're involved in is going to be. And you definitely don't want to see them there. Now, like I said, another thing is you can only give them the warning. Nowhere in the Bible do you see God actually making somebody do something that they didn't want to do. But when the time came for them to have to pay the price for it, God would do whatever it took to try to get them to change their ways. But ultimately, he never just took over their mind and control of their body and made them do anything. But the thing is, when all of that's said and done and they stand in judgment in front of him, the one thing they can't say is, nobody ever told me, because God's going to play back every instance where somebody tried to tell the person something and they didn't want to hear it. Now they gotta pay the ultimate price, eternity in hell. Is that what you want from them so-called friends of yours that you want to remain at peace with, and you willing to indulge them? The thing is, either you support them or you just don't say anything to them about what they're doing, which is just as bad. Because especially once you know what God says is going to happen to these people and you don't say anything, that's like me if I see a blind person getting ready to walk out in front of a truck barreling down the street at 30, 40, 50 miles an hour towards a blind person, and I'm standing right there at the curb where I could either reach out and grab the person or tell them, hey, there's a truck coming, and at least warn them to get out the way. But I'm going to just stand there and watch the truck run over them. That ain't showing love. That's showing hate. Because another thing is, this is a person that's made in the image of God, like we all are. So, in other words, I'm letting an image of God be destroyed because for whatever stupid reason I have for not saying anything. Pitiful. Well, that's the end of our message for this session, and I hope you and your family, till we get together again next time for another message from the Word of God, that you have a blessed day. Good day.